Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. And, you know, it's been a rainy day today. And, you know, rain from God is a blessing, right? We all like food. We all like to have something to drink when we're thirsty. And God takes care of us for that. So today is one of the days when He's taking care of that. And that's great. Before I get into a lesson, we have an announcement to make that's sort of one of these bittersweet announcements. As perhaps many of you know, the Doble family will, this is their last Sunday here. Danny and Cynthia and Kaylee and Carlos will be moving to Corpus Christi, Texas. He's taking a job there. He starts in September, and you know, it's going to be you know, it's with painful hearts, but with a lot of love and a lot of best wishes for you and your as you continue to serve God in Texas. You know, and I understand that there's like the community there is like 50% Hispanic, and so the Hispanic ministry will be you know, on his agenda just like it has been here. You know, Danny and Cynthia have been doing a great job taking care of our Hispanic ministry here, and very much love for that. You know, they have, you know, Danny has been serving in a lot of different ways, you know, through the translation service, through helping us with recording. He's done some great preaching here, right? Amen. And even, you know, we still haven't figured out who's going to replace him on La Montaña, you know, but, you know, so auditions will be held after service. No. Just kidding. But, you know, we love you guys. We're going to miss you. We know that the state of Texas will be better off for you, and our hearts and prayers go with you. So the Dobles will be here on Wednesday night, and then they'll be gone to Texas. So let's continue to pray for them. Before we go any further in our lesson, let's pray for the lesson today. Father in heaven, we need you. We love you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are with us this morning. Father, we thank you for the chance that we've had to serve you side by side with the Dobles through these years. Father, and we know that we will continue to be partners in the gospel in different places from this point forward. Father, bless them, protect them, and use them to accomplish your purposes. And Father, we know that you will do that. Father, thank you again for this chance for us to come together and study your word today. Father, be with me as I present your word. Help me to present the things that will help the church. Father, help us all to understand you and get to know you better as a result of this time together. We need you, love you, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, today we're talking about the topic of growing in the knowledge of God. You know, we all want to grow in the knowledge of God. We're going to look at a passage that talks about that in a minute. But you know, there's a progression that happens as you come to know God. And, you know, it's like building a house. You build a foundation, and you build the first floor, and you build the whole thing. You put the roof on it, and finally you get to the point to where it's a completed house. You can live in it, but it's always being built in the case of knowing God. You never really reach the point where you no longer need to grow in the knowledge of God. The Apostle Paul himself said that, you know, he longed to know Christ, to know him better. And I think that none of us have surpassed the Apostle Paul at this point. So I think we all are at a state where we need to grow in the knowledge of God. And we're going to talk about that progression in a minute. But we'll start out in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Very familiar passage talking about the greatest commandment. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind." You know, we're very familiar with that passage, right? With all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, love the Lord your God. And, you know, I think that hopefully most all of us would want to raise our hand and say, yes, I love God. I love God. And, you know, there's a lot of people in the world who will say, I love God. It's actually not very hard to say, is it? You know, it rolls right off the tongue. But, you know, the question is, how can we love somebody if we don't know them, right? We're talking about growing in our knowledge of God. So there's a song that came out from the Doors in 1968, which a few of you will remember. So, you know, I could see a few of you jiving to that a little bit. You know, how many of y'all remember that song? How many of y'all were listening to the radio in 1968 when it came out? That's a smaller number. That song's still pretty hits the airways every now and then. So, you know, even the young men like Mr. Hayes over here remember that song. But you know, I want to ask the sisters something. You know, suppose some guy came up to you, maybe your future husband or whatever, came up to you with that line, says, "Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name?" You know, what would you say? What would you think? You know, that would be, you'd have a few doubts, wouldn't you? What would you say to him? You know, he doesn't really love you, right? He doesn't love you. He doesn't even know your name. You know, he doesn't even know you. How can he love you if he doesn't know you? You know, the truth of the matter is he just wants something, right? You know, that's what you would say, isn't it? He just wants something. So the question I have for you is, how do you think God feels when somebody says, "I love you," but they don't really even know him? You know, he thinks he just wants something, right? What do you think they might want? You know, there's a lot of blessings that come from having a relationship with God, right? And maybe you know about those, but, you know, it's cheap and easy to say, "I love you, let me have some of those blessings." But do you really know God? And do you love what you know about God? You know, do you really love what God loves? Are you, you know, where's your connection with God? So we're going to look at a few passages about this. In Colossians 1:9, this is the passage where the title actually comes from. Paul is talking about the church here. You're talking to the church, and he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of life." So, I mean, here's a prayer Paul is praying for the Colossian church, and I'm sure for us, and we need those same things here today. You know, to be filled with knowledge of God's will. Okay? You can go know God. One of the things you need to know is, what does he want? You know, if you know, you know, sisters, when that guy comes up to you, he needs to understand what you want, right, before he has the right to say, "I love you," right? You need to understand what he wants, you know, and then we need to pray, you know, live, and we need this so that we can live a life worthy. You know, you can't please him if you don't know what he wants. And, you know, and one of the things that goes into that is growing in the knowledge of God. So this is his progression of getting to know God. So we're going to talk about that progression, and you know, we could talk about lots of things. I boiled it down to three because sermons are supposed to have 3 points, right? I've learned that over the years. So we're supposed to grow in the knowledge of God. First off, you need to seek God. You know, you can see this as a progression. You start out by seeking God, okay? Then once you learn something about him, you need to fear God. And then once you fear him, then you can worship him. And then you'll be transformed by that experience, and that's where you can really love God. Okay, so let's talk about seeking God. You know, if you think about it, we can't see God, can we? Has anybody here ever seen God? You know, what does he look like? We can't see him. You know, how do you seek God? Okay, you got to find out what you can about God, and then try to establish some kind of relationship with him to seek him. Okay, John 1 verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And, you know, in John 17:26, Jesus says, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So Jesus came to make God known to us so that we can know him, and he would continue to help us. So there's the progression. We continue to grow in the knowledge of God, right? As Jesus continues to help us to know him. So there's something about knowing what Jesus had to say about God and knowing what, you know, because Jesus represented God, to know what Jesus looked like, you know, what he acted like, what he loved, what he hated. You know, you learn about God because he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who do what? Who earnestly seek him. So if we're going to seek God, you know, this is not something you do kind of casually, you know, just kind of, you know, you need to earnestly seek him. I want to know him. I need to seek him out. I need to go find him, find out what I can about him. So how do you do that? Well, it needs to be earnestly, but it's not rocket science, is it? You know, where are you going to find out about God? In the Bible, right? You're going to read the Bible. You're going to find out what he did, what he said. You find out about Jesus, what he did. You're going to learn about his character, about what he loves, what he hates. You're going to learn what he's like from reading the scriptures. And that's how you seek God. But then once you have read that in the Bible, then you need to establish communication with him, right? So you pray. You're reading about it. You're praying. You're seeing the difference between God and you, and you're praying, God, help me understand this. Help me change this. Help me be more like you. So you're reading the Bible. You're praying. You're learning that you need God, that you have a dependence on God. You start talking to him about that. So you're seeking God, read the Bible, you pray, and of course, then you obey. You know, if you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to have to obey. You know, Jesus, you know, several places in scriptures, you know, including in Jesus in the Last Supper time there, he talks about, you know, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? So if you're going to love God, there's got to be that obedience in there, right? All right, and it's got to be done earnestly. Earnestly, what does it mean to do something earnestly? It means this is for real. This is what I, inside of me, I want. You know, I want this relationship with God. I'm not doing it because somebody's beating me about it, somebody's trying to make me do it. This is coming from inside. I want, I know, I have a need for a relationship with God. And I'm going to seek it out. I'm going to invest my time, my energy into getting this relationship with God. So, seeking God. All right, so we seek God. One of the things we're going to find out as we do that is that we need to fear God. Okay, this is not a particularly popular part of the package, but it's a real one. Jesus in Luke 12:4 says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell." Yes. I tell you, fear him. You know, I mean, Jesus reemphasizes at the end, yes, I tell you, fear him. Why do you think he had to reemphasize that? It's not a new thing for people to say, well, yeah, I know you're supposed to fear God, but not really, you know. So, but you really, you know, the point is, yeah, you need to fear God. You need to realize, and he gives you the reason here. He could throw you into hell. That's right. And so, the fear of God is a real part of understanding God. If you don't fear God, you don't know him. You know, Proverbs 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You don't have wisdom if you don't fear the Lord. You haven't even begun. Okay? It's the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when you know God, that fear of the Lord is right there in the package. You can't know God and not have the fear. And if you don't fear God, you haven't even begun. To have wisdom. To know God is to fear God. If you don't fear him, you don't know him, and you don't love him. And you're not obeying the most important command in the Bible. Okay, fear of God is part of the package. Let's look at a passage in Nahum, which is basically a prophet talking about God's getting ready to bring judgment on Nineveh. Okay, and starting in verse 2, we're just going to see the kinds of things God had to say to Nineveh before he was about to come in and destroy them. Starting in verse 2, said, "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and his clouds and the clouds and the dust are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. Okay. It's a vivid, scary picture of the wrath of God. And if that doesn't do it for you, read Zephaniah chapter 1. Okay. We'll take that one home with you and read it. You'll realize that God is someone to be feared. You know, God is in total control, and when his wrath is directed at you, you're in big, big trouble. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about fear. Okay, fear is an important concept. And you know, I want to talk about two aspects of fear. But you know, to talk about that, my illustration is from Sherry and I taking a trip to Yellowstone. You know, we got back a couple of weeks ago, I guess, close to a couple of weeks ago, from Yellowstone. And Yellowstone's an awesome place to visit. I highly recommend it if you get the chance. It's an incredible place. Lots of, you know, you got geysers, you've got mountains, you got waterfalls, incredible wildlife. You know, if you go there, you will see more buffalo than you can imagine. And some of them will be holding up traffic. You'll be waiting for them to cross the road. But you know, what is there to fear? We're talking about fear. What is there to fear in Yellowstone? There is something to fear in Yellowstone. This fellow up here is a grizzly bear. Grizzly bears inhabit Yellowstone. And I don't know how much you know about grizzly bears, but a grizzly bear, an average grizzly bear, is twice the size of the our local Georgia black bears. Okay, sometimes more. So the grizzly bears the males are bigger than the females. The males get to be 800 pounds, sometimes twice that amount. Okay, but 800 pounds is a fairly typical large male bear, grizzly bear. So let me ask you something. You know, you got a 800 pounds worth of that looking at you. You know, that's something to fear. Okay, so you know, when you're in his domain, his rules apply. Okay, you know, it's kind of like with God. You can, So you know, these are the 3 points. Okay, when you're in his domain, his rules apply. Now, remember, we're making an analogy to God. You're always in God's domain, right? When you're in this grizzly bear's domain, his rules apply. You can't negotiate the terms with a grizzly bear. You can't say, you know, I just want to get closer for a picture. You know, he doesn't care about your picture. You know, you can't negotiate with a bear, okay? His rules apply, and they're non-negotiable. His opinion is the only one that counts. You could tell him, you know, the ranger told me I could do this. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what that ranger told you. You know, he's got his principles, his standards, and if you get too close, if he thinks you're too close, trust me, you're too close, all right? And nobody else's opinion counts. You don't want to stir up his wrath. You cannot endure his wrath. Okay? You can't outrun a grizzly bear. You can't out-wrestle a grizzly bear. You got no hope if you incur his wrath. So you don't want to stir up his wrath. Okay. So what are those rules? I mean, it's important. You know, he's got his standards. What are some of the rules that you need to keep in mind if you're not going to incur the grizzly bear's wrath? You know, I was looking at this list this morning. I think, you know, I could easily make a 5-point sermon out of this slide right here. Think about it. You know, be alert. You know, you want to be aware of how God feels about you, right? You want to be alert. Okay. You want to make noise. You want to communicate with God, you know, so that you don't sneak up on him, you know, with the bear, you're sneaking up on him. But you want to make noise. You want this prayer thing going on. You want to carry bear spray. Okay, Gary, you wanted me to talk about that scarlet cord. Where's Gary? You want me to talk about that scarlet cord? The scarlet cord is the bear spray, okay? Because that's what can fend off the wrath of God, right? It's the blood of Jesus, you know. That's what can fend it off. We're not doing that sermon, but we could. It'd be a great sermon, okay? Avoid hiking alone. How about that? You know, that would make a good sermon point. You know, you need to have other people with you to protect you. And do not run. You can't outrun a grizzly bear. You cannot outrun God. Right? You got to deal with the facts. All right? We could do a great sermon here, but we won't. But you know, these are the things you need to do to be safe in bear country. you know, you if you make noise while you're walking down the trail, you don't sneak up on a bear. And the last thing you want to do is sneak up on a bear. Okay? He doesn't want you to do that. You don't want you to do that. Okay? Bear spray. That is not something you use to attract bears in the hope of seeing them. Right? Bear spray is an intense, powerful pepper spray that it'll shoot out maybe 25 feet from you. And if the bear gets within 25 feet, you're shaking in your boots at this point, okay? That never happens except when bad things are about to happen, okay? So bear spray is, you know, you spray them, and it's the best thing you got. It's better than having a rifle with you because a lot more people still get hurt if they shoot the bear than if they spray. If they spray him, he turns around and runs away because he can't breathe, he can't smell, can't see, and he's got to get out of there. So carry bear spray. That's how you defer, how you turn away the wrath of the bear, okay? Avoid hiking alone. You know, bears are much more likely to attack an individual than a group. You know, they say three or more usually, but the more people, the merrier, so to speak. And of course, do not run. Don't act like food, right? You know, food runs away from the bear. If you run away from the bear, he's going to think you're food, and you don't want that. All right. And then there's some fine print at the bottom of what you do if you get beyond those things. You know, what to do if he charges you and knocks you down. And, you know, why they put that in the fine print, I don't know. By the time that happens, you're not going to be pulling out your list thinking, okay, what do I do now? You know. All right. Let me share a little bit of something that happened with Sherry and I while we were in Yellowstone. We were staying at this hotel. They had a whiteboard on the wall, and people would write up there on this whiteboard what animals they saw, where and when. And so somebody had written up there that the previous morning, about 8 something in the morning, I think, they had seen a moose right next to the petrified tree site. So we said, well, let's go out there. We hadn't seen a moose yet. Let's go see if we can see a moose. So we got up early. We got in the car. We drove to petrified tree. Petrified tree site is essentially you park the car, you get out, you take a picture of this petrified tree, you get back in your car, and you drive away. Okay, you don't spend too long there, okay? But right across the road from there, there is this trail that goes off. It's called the Lost Lake Trail. And the Lost Lake Trail goes through some very moosey-looking territory. So we thought, you know, we might see the moose if we walk this trail. We didn't see him there at the petrified tree. We said it might be on this trail. We went over and looked at the trailhead there. And, of course, they've got this sign, as you can see, that's got a bear warning. You know, it says, you're about to enter bear country. Your safety cannot be guaranteed. You know, don't go, you know, don't go alone. You know, carry bear spray, all those things. You know, I'm looking at Sherry. Sherry's looking at me and saying, we don't have bear spray. You know, bear spray is kind of hard to carry on the airplane, right? They don't like it to carry. They don't let you on the airplane carrying bear spray. Fortunately, at Yellowstone, you can rent bear spray. If you're going on a trail, you could go for $10, rent a thing of bear spray. And then if you happen to not use it, you can return it, and that's all they charge you. If you use it, you buy the whole thing for $50. But we didn't get it because we were not walking a trail. We were just going to go to the site, take a picture, and go home. So we go up to this Lost Lake Trail. We decide we're not going to hike it. So we go back to our car. We get in the car, and we start heading out. And just as we're going out, another tourist comes driving in, and they flag us down and say, look down there, there's a grizzly bear right there. And it was, you know, probably 80 yards or less away, walking through that moosey-looking area down a trail was this guy. You know, what Sherry and I had contemplated doing was walking that trail to the Lost Lake and then walking back out, hoping to see a moose. If we had done that, we'd have run face to face into this bear. Okay? So our fear of the bear caused us to obey the rules. We didn't have bear spray. And therefore, we got to take this picture. You know? And we got to take this next picture. The bear's wrath is not stirred up. You know? He's not at all interested in us. He obviously knew we were there. We were there with, like, I guess there was a group of about 5 people watching. And, you know, we were all, you know, sort of between nervous, excited, and terrified. taking pictures. Sherry was sitting there with binoculars looking. She said, Alan, put on the zoom lens. So all these pictures are the ones I took after she said that, you know. And so anyway, but this bear's breath is not stirred up. And so the obedient tourist gets to bring these images home, right? Because he obeyed the rules. He did not incur the wrath. And this one, you know, and the bear, he kept turning around. He would sniff. He was sniffing the air. But, you know, they have incredible sense of smell. They can smell food a mile away. You know, they can smell you a mile away. They can distinguish you from all the other smells they're smelling. They have incredible, better, maybe, you know, many times better than a bloodhound. And so he's sniffing the air, you know. I'm sure he had something on his mind that he was going down that trail for. You know, he was just going about his business. And we were not his business. You know, we didn't incur his wrath. And he, so he continued to amble peacefully along the trail. And that's, you know, this happy ending. Okay? So we saw this grizzly bear. Now, you may have seen this story in the paper or heard it in the news. The same time we were there, in fact, it was the next day after we saw that bear, an employee at Yellowstone was killed by a grizzly bear. It happened within probably a couple of miles of a cabin that we stayed in for 4 nights while we were there. This guy, he worked for their medical facility there. He was a seasonal employee. He'd been there for 5 years. He was an experienced hiker. He loved Yellowstone. He knew the rules. He went out after work one day hiking what's called the Elephant Back Trail, which is, you know, a famous, well-known, beautiful trail that we didn't actually hike. But he went down that trail and then went off trail. He was hiking by himself late in the day with no bear spray. Okay? He had become overconfident, hadn't he? You know, you think about, again, we're making this spiritual application here. Okay. How many of us fear God the way we did the first time we learned about the fear of God? How many of us have become complacent? Complacency kills. Complacency killed this guy. Okay. Ultimately, it killed the bear, too. They had to catch the bear and put him down because of it. But you know, we get come to know God. We learn the fear of God. We repent of our sins. We decide we want to turn our lives over to Him. We repent. We get baptized, and then years go by. You know, and it's like, okay, I've done this many times. Surely God's not going to zap me this time. You know, we start pushing the limits. You know, and you know, that's what this guy apparently had done. You know, he got the point, says, well, I've done this many times. The bears haven't attacked me. There's no bear going to attack me here. He was familiar. He went to that place frequently. But on this occasion, he incurred the wrath of the bear. You know, God's patience may be wearing thin. You know, God is slow to anger, as we read earlier, right? But his wrath is not something to play games with. Okay, it cost this guy his life. Okay, complacency. Let's look a little bit more about the wrath of God. You know, we've been talking about the wrath of a bear. Exodus 20, verse 18 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning, this is Moses going up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? You know, they were terrified. They saw, you know, basically the sound and light show God was showing them to give them an idea of his power, just a glimpse of his power. And it caused them to be fearful. Moses says, do not be afraid. I mean, there's not some game being played here with two different words. It's the same word. Do not be afraid. Because God's come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you. He wants the fear of God to be with you, to keep you from sinning. So the idea here is you don't dare incur the wrath of God. And when you do that, you don't have to be afraid that he's going to kill you. You know, that's really what Moses is saying here. They were afraid they were going to die. He says, you're not going to die. God's just trying to put the fear of him in you so that you won't sin. He wants you to obey these commands I'm bringing back. Okay? You know, if we all feared God, we would be committing less sin. I think that's a fair statement, right? Is that true? You know, think about this. What have you done this week that you would not have done if you feared God as you should? Okay. I imagine probably everyone in the room has something they could answer with, right? If we feared God as we should. So we're talking about growing in knowledge of God. Let's not forget the things we learn on the way to where we are. Okay, let's go back. Let's put that foundational piece back in. Let's have a fear of God so that it will keep us from sinning. Okay, so we talked about seeking God. We talked about fearing God. Now let's talk about worshiping God. Okay? Psalm 112, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Another really interesting juxtaposition here of, you know, the fear of the Lord, delighting in his commands. Fear of the Lord keeps you from disobeying his commands. But it needs to go beyond that, doesn't it? If you're going to worship God, you're going to praise God, it needs to be, I delight in his commands. Okay? It needs to be, I love what God loves. I hate what God hates. I love what he teaches me about how I can live my life in a better way. I love the wisdom that comes from the commands of God. Okay? So if you're going to praise God, you know, it's kind of like, hello, I love you. Won't you tell me my name? Tell me your name, right? If you don't delight in his commands, how can you praise him? You know, can you really honestly praise God if you don't love his commands? I don't know. That doesn't fit in my head. Okay. Psalm 111, verses 1 to 3 says, praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by those who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. So here are some of the things in worship that you're thinking about God. You're thinking about great are his works. You delight in them. You ponder them. Do you ponder the works of God? Do you find yourself in your spare moments just sitting there and amazed? You know, what has he done? Look at what he's done. I mean, just look at the creation he's made. You know, look at how he has given himself to his creation. He has died on a cross for us. Look at what he's done for us. Does that amaze you? Do you ponder that? Does it delight you? You just love looking at God. You know, a lot of times we talk about, you know, won't it be great to get to heaven and see God's face? Well, is it great to ponder his great deeds here? Is it great? Is it awesome? Do you delight in his works here? That's what, you know, I think that, you know, if following God is a duty to you, if it's something that is not really, it's not coming from inside, you know, you're not able to praise God the way you ought to. You know, there's a whole new level of this. So we're talking about a progression of knowing God. You get to the point where you're really, in sincerity, worshiping God, praising God, delighting in his commands, delighting in his works, you know, then that's when you're really worshiping God. That's a new level, okay? And you don't leave behind the fear of God, right? You keep that with you because you don't want to dare incur his wrath. Here's kind of the punchline of the whole thing. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, he says, this again is Paul basically talking about what God does in our lives. He says, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is a spirit. So do you catch that? You know, he says, with unveiled faces we contemplate his glory. That means when we get to the point where we can see his glory, when we understand, when we really know God better, okay, it says, as we contemplate his glory, we are being transformed. You know, we are becoming more like God as we beheld his glory. You become like the one you worship. Isn't that amazing? You want to be more like God? Worship Him. Admire Him. Think about Him. Observe Him. Delight in His commands. Delight in His works. Learn to love what He loves. Learn to hate what He hates. Do you know there's some things God hates? There's some things God hates. You know, we need to learn to hate them. You know, He hates our sin. You know, we need to learn to hate those things. Okay? So again, let's pull it all together. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. This is kind of putting the whole thing together. Now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees, which I'm giving you today for your own good. Okay? That's what God wants from us. You know, He wants us to fear Him. Let's not leave that behind as we go down the progression, right? We need to fear Him. Okay? You know, we need to walk in His ways. We need to obey. We need to learn what the rules are, the rules of the game. You know, carry that bear spray, right? We need to love Him. We need to look, admire His, all of His traits, and just delight in observing and learning more from Him about that. And with all your heart and with all your soul, to serve Him. And that's what He's looking for. That's kind of the progression. So where are you on that progression? Maybe we need to go back and revisit some of those earlier stages. Maybe we need to fortify them a little bit. You never stop seeking God, do you? Okay. You need to keep seeking God. Reading your Bible, praying, obeying what you see. You never stop fearing God, because that's what keeps you from sinning. Okay, and you don't want to stir up His wrath, and you want to worship God and be transformed into His image. So I hope that was helpful to us. I hope we will, as a result of these scriptures and these thoughts, we will all grow in our knowledge of God. Thank you very much.
Well, wasn't that a great sermon? I want to thank Alan for delivering that sermon, and I really wanted to. I guess as a congregation, we need to really appreciate the wisdom and the knowledge that we have here sitting with us. And just the thing that I took away from that was the analogy of the bear and the fear and the respect and the thing we ought to take away if we're in the presence of that bear, and how we can apply that in our lives in the way that we fear and we respect God. And so with that, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, Heavenly King, God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be here, to share the fellowship, to hear this great message, God, about how we need to seek you, we need to fear you, we need to worship you in the way we live our lives. God, and really that you've given us the opportunity to do that through your Bible, through prayer, through obeying your word. God, and thank you for Alan and the things that he shared with us. Thank you for the wisdom that he has. Thank you for the love that he has for our congregation. Thank you, God, for giving us this opportunity to just share in the fellowship and to be part of this service. God, I pray for the Doblays. God, I pray for them as they move on to the next congregation, to the next chapter in their lives. I pray, God, that they can take with them the love and the inspiration and the encouragement that they've gotten from this ministry. I pray, God, that we can really build them up and help them to know how much we love them, to know how much you love them by the things that you've done in their lives. God, and as we leave this room, as we go on our separate ways and do the things that you would have us do with this week, God, I pray in a great way that we not only hear this message, but that we can apply it to our lives, that we can find something in this lesson to really take and have a deep conviction on, and that we just don't go away and say, well, that was great, and it was good to hear it, and da-da-da, but that we can apply it, and so at the end of our day, we can say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And thank you, Lord, for all that you do for me. These things and all things we pray through your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.